Father, we just come again today, and we need you so much. We need you in ways we don't even know that we need you. Lord, we just ask you to remove anything that would block us from receiving what you have for us today. And we ask for your revelation. Only you can bring the revelation to our spirit. And we're hungry for that, God. We want a breakthrough. We want a breakthrough out of our carnality and into your spirit realm and into your love. And to what you have for us. So we just depend on you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I don't know why this has been on my mind. So this is where we're going, Luke 18. But it just kept occurring to me yesterday. We have a lot of people here that come in off the streets, a lot of people with a lot of problems. We have alcoholics and schizophrenics and demon-possessed people, and we have all these people that come in with all these issues, and they weren't welcome in the church back in the days of Jesus. They were considered the outcast, you know. And the Pharisees were all in the church. They had their lives all cleaned up, and they tithed, and they served God, and they did all these right things according to what they read in the scripture. And then they thought they were better than everyone else. And they didn't realize, you know, that he came to save the sinners. Because there's a reason that people are trapped in alcohol. There's a reason they got possessed. There's a reason that they're mental. And it's the things that have happened in their life that have left them in that condition. And in his love, those are the ones, they know they need him. They know they have need. You know, they're not in a deception of the pride of, we serve Jesus, what's wrong with you, you know? Anyway, I've just been having a heart to say, we need to have a heart for the people who are trapped in those situations. Instead of judging them, why don't they serve God like we do? We need to be having the heart he had, saying, this is who he came for. And he ate with sinners. And the religious condemned him for that. Remember when the woman came and washed his feet with her tears and her hair, and they said, I don't think he realizes, you know, what kind of woman she is. That's a prostitute. But she was wanting God, and he recognized that. So we need to have a heart to rescue people, not condemn them when we see the kind of sin they're trapped in, you know. So Luke, 18. I got 18. Yeah, I said 18:14. Let's see if that's right, because then I turn around and put 4:18, so maybe that's later. We'll just go to 18:9-14 first. Yep. And he spoke this parable to certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, or a religious man, and the other was a publican, which is a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself, Oh God, I thank you that I am not like other men, like extortioners and unjust and adulterers, or even like this tax collector, this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of everything I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. The only difference between the self-righteous man and the other man was that the other man knew he was a sinner, and the self-righteous man didn't know it anymore. Sometimes when people get saved and they start coming to church, when we come to the Lord, we know we're sinners. We know we're desperate. We know what we've done. We know what we've thought. We are aware of our feelings. We're aware of our sin. And we come bring it all to Jesus. We accept Christ and we start serving him. Then after serving him for a while, we start feeling pretty good about who we are. And then we start saying, hey, you know, I'm tithing. Why aren't you tithing? No wonder God doesn't bless you. You don't tithe. I tithe my money. God takes care of me. And you know what? I go to church all the time, and I fast twice a week, and I pray for the lost. And we stop realizing we're still sinners. We start thinking we're okay. And the only difference here, because this religious man was full of pride. Pride, judging and condemning others. So he was also a sinner, but he didn't know it. Everybody is a sinner. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. Paul was a really religious man. He got saved, started serving Christ, and he still said, I'm the chief of sinners. He said, there's so much sin in me. When I want to do good, evil is there with me. And that I want to do that's good, I don't do it. And that thing that I hate, I do that. Do you do that? I mean, are you aware that you're still a sinner? And even when you go out to love somebody and do good, sin is still there inside of you. And there's lots of times I tell God, I'll go anywhere and I'll do anything. And then he says, I want you to go see this person. I go, I don't want to. I don't want to go. And I go, but I go with an attitude because I don't really want to go. So I don't release the love of God when I get there anyway because I didn't want to go. And I'm all in a bad mood. Half the time our bad moods is because we're mad at ourselves because we're not being so good because we think we're so good. We forget we're still sinners. So the only difference was one knew he was a sinner and the other one didn't know he was a sinner. He thought he was good. But what I noticed, if you read all through the New Testament, when you see Jesus rebuking people, he doesn't go out and rebuke the guy who is drunk and thrown up on the ground. He doesn't go and rebuke the woman in adultery. He rebukes the proud. He rebukes the religious. He rebukes the ones that are in a false religion and pride. He rebukes them because they think they're doing good. You don't have to rebuke the alcoholic. He already knows. You go to him with the love of God and say, you don't have to live here. God wants to rescue you. But you rebuke the proud because they don't know that they're a sinner. So he rebukes those who don't know. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He has sent us to preach the gospel of the good news. Jesus died for your sin. He has sent us to go to them, not to threaten them, not to scare them, not to rebuke them, to rescue them with his love. We have to go to them in his love. Why am I bringing this inner healing? When I first started preparing it, I'm going, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing again today. This is not an inner healing message. And he said, yes, it is an inner healing message. It is, because the church has gone after these wounded people to scare them, to rebuke them, to warn them, to threaten them. And most people won't respond to that. They've already warned themselves and threatened themselves and told themselves, I am no good and I deserve to go to hell. I am useless and weak and I'll never change. God doesn't want me because I'm a flop and a failure and a sinner and I'm too wicked. And they already told themselves all of that accusation. The devil told them all those accusations. We need to go and tell them that's all a lie. It's not about what you're doing that makes you a sinner. Because those things you're doing it to yourself because of what you think of yourself, which is all lies. If you had any respect for yourself, you wouldn't do that to yourself. But because of the abuses of this life, you don't respect yourself and you hurt yourself. We're there, supposed to go there to tell you, God believes in you. God knows who you really are. You are not who you've been thinking you are. And God wants to rescue you from that trap. So he rebukes the proud, but he rescues the brokenhearted and the poor and the captives. If they're in any kind of an addiction, they're a captive. They've been captured by that addiction, by the enemy. To bring back the sight to the blind. They can't see the truth anymore. But when we take them truth, that truth will set them free. Those that are bruised, really standing out to me. Really standing out to me. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Because we talked with a bruised one yesterday. In verse 15 and 16. Who was Jesus talking to? He taught in their synagogues. being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue, and he stood up to read. The people that he was talking to here were in the synagogue. So we are in danger of pride. We are in danger of judging people that we don't think love God like we do, serve God like we do. That's a danger to us. We need to be careful of that. Luke 5:31 through 32. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And repentance, again, is not them saying, "Okay, I repent, I won't drink. I repent, I won't smoke. I repent, I won't do any more drugs." Repentance is saying, "I no longer want to live my life my way. I want God." Repentance toward God, wanting God, choosing God to be your life. You can't stop anything till he gives you the power. Luke 7:37 through 50. A woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. That was perfume. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears. And she did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees the Pharisees which had invited him there saw it, they spoke within themselves, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she's a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you." And he said, "Master, say on." There was a certain... Wait a minute, I want to point out something. The Pharisees said, "Jesus isn't a prophet, or you know that's a prostitute touching him." He didn't answer him. He turned to his disciple and said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." He let them hear it, but he didn't address them. He spoke to his people. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "You have rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "See this woman, I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with perfume. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Your sins are forgiven." This woman did not come in saying, "I promise I won't be a prostitute again." No, she came in offering him her love, her heart. She wanted the relationship with him. That's repentance. And he said, "Your sins are forgiven." He wants the heart of love. That's all he wants.
As you were reading, what I noticed, it says here, when she knew that she overcame whatever fear. She knew she was a sinner, what they thought of her, and she overcame everything because she wanted to be a sinner.
That's right. That's Moses in the burning bush again. I don't care if it kills me. I'm getting where he is. I want him. I need him. And people that have been in a lot of sin have also been hurt a lot, rejected a lot. They're lonely. They're miserable. They hate themselves. And when they realize Jesus would forgive them and love them, they run to him and they love him and they cling to him. It doesn't matter what age. It can happen at any age. When we realize who he is and that he loves us, we run to him. I think he went on and he rebuked proud and religious. He rebuked greedy people. He rebuked his disciples whenever they weren't discerning the times of God or when they were not judging what is right. He did rebuke his followers when they started to get religious and judge wrongly. But he did not rebuke the lowly sinner. He loved them. He came to rescue them. In Luke 14, 11 through 14, I'm slow, even when it's in the book I'm already in. For whosoever exalts himself shall be abased or brought down. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. And then he said also to him that had asked him, when you make a dinner or supper, call not your friends, nor your brethren, neither your kinsmen, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also just invite you again, and a recompense be made for you. But when you make a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you shall be blessed. For they cannot recompense or repay you, for you shall be repaid, recompensed, at the resurrection of the just. God wants us to invite the poor and the weak and the beggarly and the blind and the crippled and love them. Because when we do it in obedience to Him, His love touches them. His love reaches them to rescue them. I'm not going to go there right now, but Matthew 22, 36 through 40, again, is the greatest commandment of God is love. To love God, to love yourself, to love others. He commands us to love ourselves, so hating yourself is a sin. I just really stood out again to me yesterday as we went to see Eric. And Harvey was talking to him, and I was sitting back and praying and saying, God, what do you want to say to him? What do you want to say to him? And Harvey was giving him what God had to say to him. But, you know, we're in a hurry to want to do what Jesus did. We see someone that's all oppressed or possessed or whatever, and we just want to walk and go, demon, get out of him and set him free. But the Word warns us that if you cast the demon out of someone and they don't give their life to Jesus and bring in the Holy Spirit, seven more spirits come back with that one. That one says, where shall I go? Oh, you still have an empty house? Hey, come on, buddies. And you get seven friends, and seven more demons jump in the person. So you don't do anybody a favor to cast a demon out of them if they don't understand accepting Christ yet. When Eric was up here on that Sunday, and people, I've already asked Joy, she's given me permission to talk about this stuff, so I'm not doing this without her permission. And people were saying, Eric, say these words. I only want Jesus living in me. And he's going, I only want Jesus living in me. Say it again. I only want Jesus living in me. He said what he was told to say without understanding. Without understanding. And when Eric left here, many of us had a check and said, I don't think Eric has accepted Jesus or understands that Jesus loves him yet. I'm concerned for him. Well, Eric went home and got worse. Eric's in Pine Rest now, because Eric just flipped out a couple times and got worse. And he tried to hurt others, but in the end, he tried to hurt himself. He tried to hurt himself. Is he 8 or 9? 10. Eric is 10 years old and made a decision that he is so worthless and so no good that he should die at 10 years old. Who told him that? Who told him that about himself? Satan, you're right, through wicked people who were serving Satan. Why were you abused? Why were you rejected? Why were you hurt? We asked Eric that yesterday, because we asked Eric, and he was so honest. He was so honest yesterday, and I loved it. Harvey said, because you only want Jesus living in you, right? And Eric said, I have blood and bones living in me. That's not Jesus. And Harvey said, well, I know, but I'm talking about spirits. You don't want anger living in you, right? Eric said, everybody has fear living in them. We said, do you have fear in you? Nope. Actually, yes. What are you afraid of? People who hurt me? I know, it'll break your heart. Well, who hurt you, Eric? A man? He put my head underwater, and he beat me with a belt, and he told me he'd cut my legs off. So why do you think he did that, Eric? Because I got in trouble. So he felt he deserved it, because he was bad, because he was disobedient, because he caused trouble. That's why he became the target. That's what the devil told him. Why do you think this man wants to hurt you? Because I'm bad. Why do you think you deserve to be the one who you would do this to? Because I'm no good. I'm a bad child. And the anger that the enemy says, I'll protect you. And Eric's looking for protection. So he accepts the spirit of anger. And he holds that anger inside. Because he doesn't dare take it out on that man. The man's bigger than him. So when Eric does explode and the anger comes out, and maybe he wants to hurt his sister, or he wants to hurt a toy or anything, and then the enemy says, see how bad you are? You see how bad you are? You're just like the man that hurt you. You're so bad you want to hurt people. You are no good. And we told Eric, that's a lie. That's a lie. All children get in trouble. All people get in trouble. But they don't deserve to be treated that way. That person was bad. That person was wrong. That person should not have done that. That was their sin, their wrong, and not your fault. We had kids and they got in trouble. And sometimes they get a spanking. But you don't beat them with a belt, and you don't put their head underwater, and you don't cut their legs off. That's evil. And you don't deserve that. You didn't deserve that treatment that you got. And if you've been accepting, I deserve to be punished. Yes, you do. But not like that. You deserve to be punished because you lied. You deserve to be punished when you're rebellious. You deserve to be punished when you take anger out and hurt someone else. You do deserve to be punished. Jesus came to say, I took your punishment. I took it for you because I don't want you punished. I want you forgiven. That sweet little boy chose to forgive that man. He prayed with us and said, I forgive him. I don't want God to punish him. I want God to help him. And then we ask God to forgive Eric too. And Eric asked God to forgive him. And we prayed that Eric would forgive himself. I don't know if Eric's been able to do that part yet. But it's just break your heart to see this little boy so honest. He did not repeat after Harvey, I only want Jesus living in me. He already tried that and he got worse. Because he didn't know what he was saying. But he needs to be loved. We cannot keep the love of God to ourselves and all he's done for us and judge others for what they're doing. They do what they do because they're hurt. They do what they do because someone told them they were bad. So they became bad. But they're not bad. Just that bad devil is living in them, lying to them, deceiving them, beating them up, destroying their life. And we agree with him and say, yo, you are bad. Why don't you love God like me? Because we're not taking his love to them. And saying he loves you. He loves you. He wants you. You don't need to be punished. He was punished for you. And when you get that, when they get that, they will run into his arms just to have his love, just to have his forgiveness. And he'll begin to bring them out of those traps that they're in. So I'm talking about they because they are the obvious weak and lame and blind and needy. But we are weak and blind and lame and needy too. See, the ones in the church are still sinners. We still have those issues going on in us. We still get mad at ourselves when we don't do what we ought to do or feel what we ought to feel as though we think we're not a sinner anymore. You know? And God says all our righteousness is still like filthy rags. It's only when he gets past us and he gets through us, somebody gets touched. We shouldn't expect anything of ourselves. We have nothing but sin to offer. But when we let him live through us, he can love people, he can rescue people, and he's always still needing to rescue us every day from us, from the devil and the deceptions that we've bought and the lies about ourselves. So this is for your healing, because where you judge another, you condemn yourself. Judgment is a funny thing. God says we're going to judge the angels. God's people are going to judge the angels with righteous judgment. See, righteous judgment doesn't want to condemn. But Matthew 7:1 is talking about when you judge another, you condemn yourself. It's when you critically condemn another, you just brought judgment on you because you're proud, you're arrogant, you think you're better than them. You just brought on your own judgment. But when you see something in them and it grieves you and you take it to God, or even when you do hate it and condemn it, take it to God. God, I am wrong. I really hate what they're doing. I want to be mad at them for what they're doing. I want to condemn them for what they're doing and criticize them and go tell them, what do you think you're doing? You know, straighten up. When I know that's how I feel, I need to go back in God and say, give me the right kind of judgment. You have shown me their sin. Show me their heart. Show me their need. Show me your love for them so I can pray to set them free now. Not to judge them and condemn them, but to set them free. That's righteous judgment. Righteous judgment seeks to see what's wrong and bring them to Jesus to take care of it. So if we judge ourselves righteously, we should not be judged with condemnation. So judge yourself before God. Find out what's wrong, but bring it to him with the same compassion toward you that he wants you to have toward others. Don't condemn yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Don't go, oh, I am so bad, and I just never change, and I never do good, and I'm so bad. Well, then bring it to God and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, have mercy on me, a hopeless sinner, and forgive me. And you transform me. I just want to be with you. I just want to wash your feet with my tears. I just want to love you and have you love me until these things are changed in me that I can't change through your love, through your presence. So that's our soaking thought today. That's our soaking thought. Forgive others when you soak before God. Forgive those who have hurt you. But forgive yourself too. Forgive yourself too, because he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And love others as yourself. As yourself. Don't just be merciful to them. Be merciful to you. He wants you to be loved and accepted. We have a different CD we're going to soak to today. And let the recording run so it can pick up some of the music too. And we're just going to soak before God and see what he wants to do. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm.